listening to Bikini Drive-In. Today I'm joined by Gwen Trutnow. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about this movie today.
Yeah, me too. It's an all-time fave. Yeah. Fave of the ages for me, for sure.
So Bikini Drive-In's mission is to analyze horror and science fiction films through an intersectional feminist lens while combining elements of screen and media studies, arts criticism, and women and gender studies. Since we'll be discussing portrayals of horror and violence, content warning, listener discretion is advised, etc. Also, spoilers ahead. Today we are discussing Stuart Rosenberg's 1979 film, The Amityville Horror.
It's the kind of house they don't build anymore. A relic of a time when the world wasn't in such a hurry. When there was still time for a little charm and elegance. It has stood empty for a long while. And at the price, it is a bargain. For a growing young family, it is almost too good to be true.
What do you think?
I love it.
James Brolin, Margot Kidder, Rod Steiger, in The Amityville Horror.
God's peace in this house.
Kathy? Father Delaney, there's something very important.
After the Lutz family moved into their dream house, they were running for their lives. What happened to them is an experience in terror you will never forget, and you will believe in the Amityville Horror. From the best-selling book that made millions believe in the unbelievable, the Amityville Horror.
Newlyweds move into a large house where a mass murder was committed and experience strange manifestation. The film is based on Jay Anson's 1977 book of the same name. The story is based on the alleged experiences of the Lutz family, who bought a new home in Amityville, New York, where a mass murder had been committed the year before. Gwen, what's your history with Amityville Horror, and why do you love this movie so much?
I watch this movie so many times. It's kind of like, watch it at the cabin, watch it late at night. Mm-hmm. I must have had a VHS copy of it when I had a tiny TV in high school and like 10 tapes. Pretty sure Amityville was one of them. And mm-hmm. I think I maybe stole it from Blockbuster because my friend worked there. The one at Redwood. That's still empty.
Yeah.
I just always liked it. It's like weirdly comforting. There's something comforting about mm-hmm. certain horror films. I don't know if it's like from the era or because the story's strangely familiar somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's a comforting film. I guess my history is just that, like, it's a go-to.
Yeah.
I don't get sick of it.
Have you read the book?
I have. I actually have it. Yeah. I have a nice copy of it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's a pretty good read.
Yeah,
not bad.
Cool. This is maybe only like my second time seeing this movie, and there is something like very comforting about it. It's very, it's a very cozy movie.
It really is. Yeah, for sure.
I think because everyone's wearing a turtleneck and it's fall.
It's fall. Yeah. There's a lot of plaid.
Yeah.
It's just like the fire is going.
Yeah.
Because of demonic cold. I don't know. There's just something about the way it's set up that mm-hmm. is supposed to put you at ease, and then that's just torn apart slowly but surely. It's a 2-hour film, right? Mm-hmm. So it has some time to degrade.
Yeah. I really liked the opening credit sequence. And it's just like, yeah, just like an image of the house that slowly sort of changes color. And there's like very, the music is really great. And I get, I think the score was like nominated for an Academy Award that year.
Yeah.
It's so great. And yeah,
really, it's got a, it's got a good soundtrack. Yeah. For sure.
I also really liked how like the editing during like when the Lutzes are getting a tour of the house that they're going to buy. And it's sort of like spliced with the DeFeo murders.
Yeah, and there's some freeze screen, like 70s business I going love on
it.
There.
Yeah, very 70s business. But I liked it rather than having like, you know, just someone just like telling them like that sort of exposition, like this sort of like, it's very jarring being like very much of the time. And yeah, really like
it. Yeah, that was a real thing back then for sure that was done that you don't see so often. People try to sort of emulate it, but it just doesn't have the same. Analog vibe, but yeah, I love that too.
So yeah, so this film is based on true events, quote unquote. So on November 13th, 1974, Ronald DeFeo Jr. shot and killed six members of his family at 112 Ocean Avenue. He was convicted of second-degree murder in November 1975. In December of that year, George and Kathy Lutz and their three children moved into the house. After 28 days, the Lutzes left the house, claiming to have been terrorized by a paranormal phenomena while living there. So in addition to the gruesome murder, the house is also believed to be built on the Shinnecock Indian Nation burial ground, so according to the book, and was once linked to the Satanist named John Ketchum, according to the movie. This is the first film I've covered on the show that claims to be based on true events. And again, like quotes, because the story of the Amityville Horror and the Haunting have been debated for over 40 years. So William Weber, Ronald DeFeo's defense attorney, testified that the entire story had been concocted by him and the Lutzes after several bottles of wine, and that he had provided the couple with details of the DeFeo murders to substantiate their account. And then the demonologists, Ed and Lorraine Warren, and parapsychologist Hans Holzer, who investigated the home in 1976, suggested that the house is occupied by malevolent spirits due to its history, and George Lutz claimed that the film producers embellished or fabricated events portrayed in the 1979 version and in the 2005 remake. I think, like, regardless of, like, whether it's a hoax or not, it's still, like, such a, like, a very fun and comforting and, like, unsettling movie.
Yeah, it is.
Also, yeah, I just, like, want that story to be real because I like ghosts and, obsessed with the Warrens.
Well, the Warrens have just, like, become this, like, offshoot into, like, full franchises and, like, it's just, like, it's pretty crazy that, like, this came out in 1979 and then all these years later there's all these films like The Conjuring and Annabelle and like these main run, it's like, it must be a template that really works like still to this day, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want it to be true. I mean, we know the murder is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything surrounding it has so much controversy attached to it, you know?
And I guess it's sorry, go ahead.
No.
I get, it gets kind of complicated because like with all the sequels and remakes, they do sort of explore the initial murder, which is then like going into sort of like a true crime world. And it just feels kind of like tacky, I guess, because it's like still a murder.
Yeah, that happened. It really happened. Yeah.
So for it feels kind of like, I don't know if it's like exploitative or like just kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, for me, it's like, it's still the 70s in 1979, but I think this kept happening into the 80s.
Yeah.
But this is just like something that seemed to be popular then. Like, it's just like demonology, hauntings. Like, it's funny because, like, even the Amityville, for me, like, there's even like elements of like Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, totally.
The Exorcist.
Yeah.
All these movies that really worked before it, it almost, it was like a culmination of all of these things, but it had this true murder attached to it with the real house and the real couple, right? But
yeah.
I mean, I want it to be real, but who knows? Yeah. I mean,
I was reading something, I forget what the article was, but it was basically saying that like the sort of popularity of movies like The Exorcist, like Rosemary's Baby and the Amityville Horror kind of happened because like, politically, it was such a tumultuous time. Like, it was post-Vietnam, sort of Richard Nixon and Watergate had just happened, so people were, like, not, obviously, like, not trusting the government and, like, wanting, just, like, looking for other reasons why.
That makes sense, for sure. I always think about, like, just, like, the weird nuclear family and being Catholic and how you can really lean on that to make sense of things. And
yeah, totally.
You had a really, really good relationship with your neighborhood priest.
Yeah.
To me, that's odd to think about, that the priest would be part of, like, your every social thing that happens in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, for the time, it just seems like a reoccurring theme, certainly.
Totally. And the fact that, like, yeah, that it is so Catholic and, like,
so Catholic,
banking on these, like, on this, like, cultural currency of these tropes that are, like, recognizable in sort of, like, Western culture. And then it's, like, the complete opposite of this, of these more, like, nihilistic sort of new Hollywood movies, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974 and even, like, Easy Rider from 1969. Like, it does, like, explore paranormal and you know, demons and everything, but it still sort of maintains a status quo of this nuclear family and this, like, Catholic
background. Yeah, I mean, in Amityville, there's even talk that he converted to be Catholic to marry her, and, like, you know, it's a family where he's inherited these stepchildren that won't call him dad.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, totally.
She's the very pious, devout, like, nice Catholic mom, like, mother and woman.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible.
Who are you singing to, princess?
You scared Jody.
Jody? There's no one here, see?
You scared her. She went out the window.
She went out the window?
Well, I better check and make sure she's not still there, huh?
Yeah, I just have a quote about the Warrens from a book by Sadie Doyle called Dead Blondes and Bad Mothers, Monstrosity, Patriarchy, and the Fear of Female Power. So this is a quote. A happy family, a happy home is the best protection against evil, says Ed Warren, one half of the popular husband and wife ghost hunting duo of Ed and Lorraine Warren. So the Warrens were deeply Christian co-experts who believe that ghosts are and demons are always invited into a home by a lack of good family values. These are people whose list of questions for the recently haunted includes, has anyone in the family bought a picture of a deity from another religion, and have you been attending sessions with consciousness-raising groups? Where once you might have had to perform dark blood sacrifices to summon Beelzebub in your living room, in the world of the Warrens, reading the feminine mystique and buying a Buddha statue at an import store is enough. So that kind of to build on your...
Wow.
How
deeply intolerant. That's like the equivalent of, like, doing yoga isn't Christian. Like, it's
you're only demons.
Then could, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. That really, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And and like you said, like all the movies, like The Conjuring and Annabelle, like, how that we're still sort of relying on this kind of status quo Catholic trajectory, I guess, like, where they're the heroes of the story and, like, their sort of intolerance isn't brought up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Everyone just sort of accepted it then, you know, it seems.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. to go, like, your comment about how George Lutz is, like, the stepfather and, like, taking over this family where, the kids won't even call him dad. It's sort of, like, this story, or even, like, an allegory of, like, domestic abuse and this patriarchal terror and the, like, changing familial expectations as well as economic insecurity and stress, because, like, one of the sort of, like, triggers is the fact that the house is so expensive and they're, like, living by means. Yeah, it's just, like, so I have another quote here. Let me just get it. It's an essay by Vivian Sobchak, Bringing It All Back Home, Family Economy and Generic Exchange. 1979 shows us a weak and possessed straight arrow father taking to the axe after his children. The Amityville Horror is figured not only as the haunted middle class family family home, but also as the haunted middle class family dad, who, weak, economically beleaguered, and under pressure from his corrupt and demanding dream house in a period of economic recession, terrorizes his children. So just kind of this, like, terrible father.
Sort of being the house doesn't function, and he unravels because of it, right? He's chopping wood. He's trying to make it warm. He's going on weird errands on his motorcycle, all strung out, trying to make it all work, right? Yeah. I think that's just, like, this weird further extension of, like, that construct of, like, perfect dad and man unraveling and not working. Like, the house is feeding all of that, right?
Yeah. And yeah, and we were talking before the show, but, like, how the way that he's presented, it's such, like, 1970s sort of, like, masculine man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, part of me kind of loves it.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to watch that type of performance and that weird kind of, like, stereotype.
Yeah.
That's so 70s. He's just, you know, like, I don't know. I feel two ways about
it. Yeah, totally. The more repressed and sort of angry and just, like, resentful he becomes, the more wood he chops.
Yeah, I know.
And then, like, on the other hand, the Margot Kidder character, Kathy Lutz, gets more and more girlish as the story goes on.
She does, yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Pigtails, a Catholic schoolgirl uniform, and then, like...
Mm-hmm. Ballet.
Ballet, just kind of, like...
Harpsichord music.
Yeah.
Doing weird crafts in the middle of the night, painting
Catholic
Mother Mary. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting and, like...
It is. I mean, maybe that's why it's so comforting. It's so stereotypical and, like, does it remind us of our parents? I don't know. Maybe a little bit, you know? I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just want to talk about haunted house movies in general. So, and the idea of, like, the Amityville house as a character, so similar to the Overlook Hotel in The Shining, the house in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the house in The Changeling, and even The Others more recently, and the sort of, like, how they deal with the invasion of a familial space. I think the Amityville house definitely is a character in this movie, so much that, like, you have that iconic image of, like, where it looks like a face, like the two windows look like eyes, and, like,
it has its own will, certainly.
Yeah, totally. I really like it.
I love that too.
Yeah, and it kind of feels just like that. Yeah, this entity they have no control over. Yeah, I really like it.
Me too.
I have another quote here from a essay in The Atlantic. So, the enduring creepiness of haunted house films. So, most of the earliest haunted house movies resemble the vision laid out in 1932's The Old Dark House, which also inspired a wealth of future Halloween attractions. Typically, characters would spend the night in a large, sinister mansion as a sort of endurance test, possibly to earn cash prize. So, like House on Haunted Hill. Or to recover a familial inheritance, the Cat and the Canary. The state is inevitably haunted by madmen, ghosts, like 13 ghosts, and some other form of deadly spirit. Filmmakers turned away from that classical mode as the studio era ended in the early 60s. Domestically, the genre descended into B-movie abyss for most of that decade and the next, before a 1-2 punch revived and re-legitimized the form. The Amityville Horror from 1979 propelled the haunted house movie into the headlines by capitalizing on the true story of the Lutz family, who in 1975 left their Amityville Long Island home after claiming they'd been spooked by paranormal occurrences there. The Amityville, which spawned a lucrative franchise, arguably marks the first time the familiar template had been applied to a regular family living in a regular home. There's no more visceral way to spook than to take that supposed to be secure and make it insecure.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of other films that sort of fall into that category that followed it. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
I mean, but I suppose previous to that, it was kind of like a dead template almost, you know?
Or kind of like, yeah, similar to, like, attractions, like,
Yeah, I mean, there's just, so many things about it. I mean, I just rewatched it. I'm still kind of like even thinking about it because I had to rewatch it this morning. Mm-hmm. Not that I haven't seen it like 20 times, yeah. But yeah, it, for some reason, I was just like, it's been years. Mm-hmm. I should watch it again. And it's just like, I suppose every time something different strikes you. Mm-hmm. Jodie, like, I always think about Jodie the pig, you know?
I know.
Jodie is the most interesting thing about it, because it's, like, through the eyes of a child, this, like, demonic thing that to Margot Kidder just looks like red eyes in the darkness. Mm-hmm. To Amy, the little girl, is a pig.
Yeah, it's
Why?
A big purple pig.
That's so, I mean, it's totally terrifying and weird.
Yeah.
But I always found that, I mean, there's something about that that's so interesting to me. Demons around children, you know, I guess you think of Poltergeist, mm-hmm, and
yeah, totally,
the movies that followed that had children as protagonists, right?
But
yeah, Jodie the pig, totally fascinating. I want to know what Jodie looks like. I want Jodie to have Jodie should have their own movie.
Yeah.
From Jodie's point of view, has Jodie been there since the beginning? Is Jodie Satan? Like, is Jodie, you know, like,
why does Jodie hate the babysitter?
Jodie hates the babysitter.
Oh, poor
so
babysitter,
much.
Their headgear.
I know.
Poor thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what struck me this time, is really thinking about Jodie as this weird character.
Yeah.
That I want to know more about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's so funny.
It is. It's so strange.
Yeah. I just want to talk about, yeah, like, again, to sort of go back to sort of, like, Catholic imagery. The priest, it's such a melodramatic performance. I guess it's a very, like, dramatic movie, but, yeah, he's in a different movie than everybody else, I think.
He kind of is, yeah. He's having a hard time with flies, asphyxiating, unable to use the phone, you know. So many things happen. The nun that comes by also has a terrible time.
Oh, my God, the puking nun.
Yeah, she has a rough one. So, yeah, I mean, this house just spits out flies, weird smells, red basement.
The goopy basement.
Purple pigs.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all in there, you know, the sink and toilet omitting weird smells full of black sludge, like, it's
love
just
it.
Like, I know, I mean, everyone probably kind of misses that type of thing. I mean, there's something so nostalgic about these haunted house films, you know.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, I really like them a lot too. I think I also just like ghost stories.
I do too. Yeah. This one's really got everything, though. I mean, it's a ghost story. There was a murder.
It's a possession story.
Could be satanic, you know, and then the burial ground, you know.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
Yeah. Do you remember if there was, like, a satanic element in the book, or was that added?
Yeah, there was. Okay. And the satanic element in the book came from the basement. Mm-hmm. That room contained some sort of, like, similar to, like, I don't know, some weird closed-off evil entity was stuck in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, made a letter.
So, that's right, yeah. From what I remember, yeah, it was the basement, the origin of evil. Mm-hmm. So.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
What a funny movie.
It is. There's so much, I mean, there's so much in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's long, too.
Yeah.
It clocks in at about 2 hours, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
They take their time unfolding everything. Yeah. So, yeah, it's comforting. I mean, it's definitely worth a watch. We were talking about the 2005 remake.
Yeah.
I don't even remember it. I know I watched it. I think it was terrible.
It's pretty bad. It has a couple of jump scares. They made the babysitter hot. You know, she, that
sort
of thing.
Yeah. 2005.
Yeah, no one's going to have headgear in 2005.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake on that one.
Yeah.
But
no, they did.
Yeah, nobody has any character anymore. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's changing now, but it was a real, real, like, sad time, I think, the mid-2000s for horror. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I think there's many offshoots. I know there's a documentary, My Amityville Horror.
Oh, yeah, I
think
did
it's
see
called.
That. Yeah, that's interesting because it's like,
yeah,
I think one of the sons
yeah,
of that family who he believes that something happened, that it was a haunt, that the house was haunted.
Yeah.
But also that there was this, like, domestic abuse situation with George Lutz. So there's, like, that sort of tension and like, obviously, like, dealing with some trauma.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's him just sort of, like, yeah, it's, like, this sort of family, this traumatized family story through the lens of a ghost story and haunted house story.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's really, it's everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, but you should watch my Amityville Horror. It's
okay,
interesting.
Okay, I will.
I haven't seen any of the remakes.
There's so many. There's Amityville Possession. Like, there's the one that came out last year, I swear.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the house was for sale. No one's sick of the house.
No.
You know, it's just, like, it's a story that, like, all these years later, people are still revisiting it.
Yeah.
But nothing beats the original. Yeah. I mean, there's just nothing after that, really.
Yeah.
So, they should just stop, maybe.
Yeah. Especially if they're talking about the actual murder that happened. I don't know.
I know, but I mean, even the Warrens, right? Like, for some reason, people are still... Isn't there, like, an origin story about her that came out?
Is there? I would watch
that. Yeah, I think it came out last year or something about her story. And
I want to go to their house.
I want to go to the weird ancient artifact of evil basement.
Haunted knickknack museum. That's where I want
to go. I want to touch them all.
Yeah, no! They're demonic. They're evil.
I don't know, yeah, I don't know if I believe in haunted objects. I really want to believe in all of this stuff, but
yeah.
I think I'd probably just touch the objects or the plexiglass that
Annabelle is.
I don't find Annabelle scary. I think I'm the only one.
She's actually a Raggedy Ann doll.
That's worse than what they present in the bad movies that are terrible to me. Nothing scary about Annabelle.
Like haunted, like doll movies.
Haunted dolls, you know, but I mean, it's not Puppet Master, which is a total masterpiece.
Yeah. So. Haven't seen it. Maybe we should cover it for the show.
I would love to. It is amazing.
So yeah, so that's our show this week. Thank you, Gwen, so much for talking about this movie with me.
For sure. It's fun. It was fun to rewatch that this morning.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable as usual, so yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and I just love the story surrounding it.
Me too, yeah, that adds layers to it. If it was just your average haunted house movie, I don't think it would have the impact to this day that it still does.
Yeah.
So there's something about all these layers of bad, terrible things happening.
You can listen to Bikini Drive-In every Sunday at 4:30 on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Yeah, so yeah, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Our frequency celebrates diversity.